to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay? And at that point, that's the announcing of Jubilee. Everybody in there knew exactly what he was talking about. It was not obscure. They knew what the year of the Lord's favor was. It was the 50th year after the 49, after the seventh Sabbath. On the 50th, that's when the ram's horn would blow and all the people would be free and things would be restored. So when he said, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, put yourself there for a minute, okay? You know what it means. So what would you be thinking? The first thing I'd be thinking is this the 50th year? Well, I mean, nobody was acting like it, were they? Doesn't say anything at all about Jesus' ministry, but anything about Jubilee going on in Israel, right? So either A, it wasn't the 50th year, or B, they weren't going to do what it said in Leviticus, under the law, right? And listen, I have heard a lot of stuff over years. And I've heard people say that it had to be the 50th because that's when, otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said so, right? Right? Well, didn't he preach more than a year? Okay, so he was here for at least 3.5 years in ministry, right? Okay, so two and a half of those wouldn't have been the 50th year. I'm just saying. And I would say, you know, people have gone back and tried to trace from when they knew the last Jubilee was because they have record of it in Israel. I think I've shared that with you before. To generalize the several accounts that I read, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of between 100 and 150 years was the last time that it's accounted, written down, that the nation observed Jubilee. Yeah, they would have been aware of that because of, yeah, from the time they were little children, they would have known exactly what that meant. And let me tell you something, if it was close to Jubilee, there would have been a lot of them just kind of tighten up a little bit there because nobody was observing it and it was a part of the law, right? But all of that is interesting, as some of you might find it, is irrelevant. Because that's not what he was saying. What he was saying is, I'm it. I'm the one that the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed to do these things. I'm the one that's come to fulfill these things. And it is beautiful to consider, again, what we started off with. He lives in you. Why? I mean, he loves you. He lives in you. He will nourish you and cherish you. Why? Because he loves you. Because he lives in you. Sit around and talk to him about that. Let him build that up in your heart till you see it clearly. And that comes out from, this was his ministry. We're going somewhere. He did many things, but they really all are found in here. Almost everything that went on can be found in here. This was the foundation. It was the cornerstone because it was who he was, what he came to accomplish. So flip the page and look at Isaiah 61, and as you go through there, you'll find that the first part is almost word for word. The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh, that's the Lord, and then however you want to say, Jehovah, Yahweh, Yahweh, okay, you can just write Yud Heh Vav Heh, but it's God, okay, himself, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to thee. And this is where the word is different in the Hebrew. It's not poor at all. Literally, it's humble. To preach them to preach glad tidings to the humble. Remember, we talked about the spiritual arrogance, okay? To those people who are willing to humble themselves and say, Lord, teach me. I don't know. I'm willing to listen to what you have to say. He was going to tell those people who are willing to listen good news. He was going to preach glad tidings to the ones who would humble themselves to receive it. Those not arrogant. He has sent me to heal the broken in heart. And there's a double word there in the Hebrew, but literally that's what you've got. The broken in leb. Actually says the broken-hearted heart, if you really want to look at it that way, okay? The same kind of picture, again, you're talking about people who understood that reference to the intentions and motivations. He came to fix them. Remember, what did Jesus say the greatest commandment was? What? Well, there's a lot more than that. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, intention, and motivations. All of your suke, all of your desires and affections, all of your dianoia, all of your deep thoughts and meditations, in all of your eskuo, or eskus, determination. Okay? That's what your intentions and motivations are supposed to be about. Again, that's so simple. How far can we get from something that simple when telling people, you know, here's what your mind needs to be on. Here's what needs to be motivating you. This is what should be the intentions in your life. And that should be God, the Father, looking at Jesus. We get so much